When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys. Well, we have a great new episode that we want to show and premiere for you guys right now. We have hinted at this a few episodes back, didn't we, Jordan? That was kind
of
our...
That's right. Born from this idea of sort of bringing in more perspectives and voices through this DGDC podcast and discussions we have, right?
Yeah.
And this one is particularly special. It's something that we've been working on. Really, it's been a couple months.
I think it has been. It's been about right when we were doing the brainstorm episode. We were thinking of this idea to, in the spirit of like you said, diversifying, getting more voices and more perspectives that might not be seasoned, might not have 10, 15 years plus, but a younger group of designers to come together. And I reached out to four designers that I know through my teaching and through other things that I've done. And the cool part too is they're in different parts of the country as well. We have Rubai, Steven, Narek, and Mike, and they are together known as the Test Pilots. So a while back, we kind of gave them the idea to like brainstorm themselves and come up with something unique. And as we spoke with them a little bit more and clearly define what the role would be and what the show would be, it became this neat thing about advice. And they told us from their perspective, I don't think we could have ever thought of this part ourselves, but they were like, we as young designers are being constantly hit with advice from other designers that make it sound so easy to do, right?
Yeah, well, it's always those things that we all are told, you know, sort of like, well, we can get into what they are, especially with the episodes, but, you know, doubling your rates or like cold calling or just any of these sort of like legacy laws that are passed down generation to generation. But, you know, what truth is there really? And ultimately, I think a big part of dumping into this is like the three of us, you, me, and Mikkel, have like a very, you know, perspective that's born from like our generation. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see like how these sort of legacy laws are passed down through like different generations and different points and perspectives to younger designers. Cause it's easier to like hindsight and say, oh, this is what you should do. Right. Like never work for free. That's like,
yeah,
but I look back, I'm like, I always did when I started. Mm-hmm. Like it's and so the advice we give as sort of more experienced designers, I'm just, you know, I like the, is it true? Does it actually make sense? Or is it stuff that like, we don't apply now, but we certainly did growing up. And maybe that was a part of like the success is you have to do these things.
Yeah.
That people say not to, or people say do certain, you know, the opposite.
And maybe it's not even the end result that's the most interesting thing, but it is the journey getting there. So what the team did was they have picked their first task. You'll see about it in a little bit here in the episode. But the beautiful thing is they spend time taking voice recordings through the weeks that they were testing out this advice to see if it would work. And they share some really good, heartfelt, like it is just one of the greatest things I've heard. I went ahead and pimped it a little bit. It's really something so good. And it's such, I think most younger designers or even just new designers in this field will really appreciate their like transparency, their candor, and their honesty when it comes to these feelings of like anxiety and stuff and trying to do something and better yourself and better your career.
Yeah. And this kickoff episode, I think it hits it so well, you know, because again, we developed the show with them and they kind of took it and ran. And we weren't sure how it was going to end up, you know, like how are you going to take, an idea? And this first episode is all about doubling your rate, you know, and that's something we're all told. And to have these four young designers test that in the real working world and then actually capture it along the way, sort of like journaling this test that they're doing by doubling the rate, seeing what clients say, seeing what comes out of it. And then having this test and then result at the end was just... The podcast is awesome. One, I think it's like, you know, kudos. What I think makes it special is they're all so open and vulnerable. And the design ego, and myself included, like sometimes it's hard to actually be that open and honest, especially when it's being recorded.
Yeah.
And it's like their real work. Like these were real clients. These are real jobs they took on. They're actually embracing this thing and bringing it into their actual business. And so
yeah,
the podcast for me is like, it is so enjoyable and interesting to kind of hear the journey in real time as they go through it.
I totally agree, man. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this. We would love for you guys to participate. Let them know how they did, if it inspired you, if it made you maybe go out there and say, I'm going to try to do what they just did, because you'll find that it's worth the shot and it's worth trying these things. Again, it's that process and the path you take to get there. Also, if you have any ideas for future advice, future things they should be testing that yeah. you've heard along the way, let us know as well. We plan to do a few of these a year. They do take a little bit of time. Jordan and I know a little bit about putting big programs and podcasts together, but I'm telling you, you're really going to love this. This is the first episode of the Test Pilots.
We are the Test Pilots.
Why don't we take that idea?
All the advice.
See if all this stuff is actually what it is.
We're here to test that.
What's up, everybody? Listeners all over the globe. You know, we're here to introduce ourselves. We're four young designers, hardworking in the industry, design industry, and we're here to test kind of the industry advice that's given to us over the years. And you could probably look at us as like design mythbusters. And so, you know, today we got me, Stephen Overturf.
Michael Purpo.
Rubai Joffer.
Narek Magnetian.
Nice.
Yeah, and we're here to solve some problems or make light of them.
Nice. That's great. So the main idea is yeah, that was perfect. The main idea is going to be that we're going to take these often given pieces of advice and we're going to put them to the test and see if they're actually real. And this episode, the first one we thought we would do is
inaugural.
A piece of advice that the inaugural episode seems like we get it. I've gotten it a bunch of times. I don't know if you guys, but it's to double our rates. I feel like I have been told or to the real piece of advice is, you know, charge what you're worth. But the directive has always been to double our rates, at least starting out. I mean, I'm 3 years in the industry and I get constantly told by other designers, you need to charge more. Because you're undershooting yourself or you're undercutting the industry. I mean, I've gotten it a lot. Have you guys gotten that?
Oh, yeah.
I've graduated in May, and I don't know how many times I've heard that just in the last couple of months. You know, it's like, oh, you should. Like, this is the only way to make money, you know? It's like, and then every time you talk about money, you're like, okay, this is how much I'm going to charge. Everyone was like, double it, triple it.
Everybody always, know? Every as soon as you say what your rate is, everyone's like, oh, that's not accurate
that's
because
nothing,
no matter
you know?
What.
And it's like someone who's been doing this for like 15 years, like obviously it's nothing for you, but I haven't even been doing this for 1 year. It's like, obviously it's going to be less. You know, who's going to pay a 22-year-old that's been doing
exactly.
something for 2 months, you know, like the industry rate? Like,
right,
that's crazy.
Right, right. It's weird because especially like as soon as you graduate college and or even in college for that matter, and you're being asked, you don't know what to charge. Like you have no idea what the rate is unless, you know, someone along the way was like, hey, this is how much you should be charging or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, you're like kind of guesstimating that number. You don't know how much to charge. But I didn't. I was charging like $15 for like
15
poster
bucks, $20.
Poster you know. Designs in college. And people were like, yeah, that'll work. We can do that.
Or if it's
like,
friends and family, man. And
yeah.
it
oh, man,
gets
that
even
discount.
Crazier.
Oh, my God. When they ask for that discount.
Yo, can you just do me a logo? I've done so many logos and so many business cards and so many resumes and tattoos. And what I've started doing is a lot of times I just kind of am like, you know, on the house. Because if I start charging you, you're not going to like how fast it's going to get expensive. And I'm going to feel tied to that work. So like for tattoos, it's like, yeah, I'll do it for free. But you get no revisions. As soon as you get into revisions, then it's like, we're going to start talking dollars. But like, they want a logo. It's like, yeah, I don't want to tell them it's going to be, you know, $75 an hour, you know, $500 up front kind of thing. It's like, it just gets so complicated.
Especially now since, you know, we've been out of school or we've done this for so long, or not for so long, but we've done this a number of years now to where we kind of have an idea of how the process is. And so we're like, oh, we kind of know where that range is. And, you know,
yeah.
for us who've been, you know, working for a company, we start to see numbers, you know, get thrown around and what people are willing to pay in our respective states or cities. And then you kind of like, okay, maybe I should up my prices, or maybe I should change them to kind of reflect what everybody else is paying. But then at the same time, you still hear other designers in the industry. It's like, oh no, that's still not enough. Like it's still like charge more. And it's like, oh, I don't know if I can.
Do you think it's one of those things you just raise it until you like get a no, and then you like kind of like go backwards sort of thing? Or
I mean, personally for me, that's what it's been like. And yeah. I feel like it really just depends on the client too. And if they really understand the value and how important design is, and the factor of like, you're really paying what you get. So, or like what you get is what you pay for, or mm-hmm. So. So yeah, I really feel like that all has to be factored in. And like, if it's a startup or if it's just like a friend, or if it's a well-established business, there's just so many factors to put into that and keep in mind.
So Rubai, like before we even get too far down the road, we just kind of flirted around it right there. And let's just be a little bit brutally honest. What in your mind, when you calculate the cost of projects, just like give me a ballpark, maybe not a friend or family, but maybe give a different one for a friend or family. What would you say your hourly rate is just for design work?
Hourly, I would say it ranges probably from like 45 to like 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
Narek?
I think I'm in the I'm like the 20, 25 range. Yep. I don't know. That's what I think is. That's what I was told. Like, this is what you're going to get out of school, and this is what you're going to get like $25. But what I've learned with that is most of the time that comes back to bite me when I tell someone $20. They're like, all right. And then, you know, in their head, they're like counting like definitely seven different projects I'm going to do for them. And I'm going to be like, he's going to do it in like 4 hours, and I'm going to pay him $80, you know? So now like I've totally given up on that idea of hourly, because I like it's just hurt me, you know? It's like not like hurt me, but like it always comes back to bite. So now I give out the value where I'm like $350, you know, $400. And then they're like, okay, you know, like they think about it. And when I talk to them, I'm trying to convince them of that. This is a value. This is something that you're like, you're buying, you know, you're not just like, because if I can do it fast, then why should I get hurt for it? You know, if I can do a logo in 20 minutes,
right,
it doesn't mean it's exactly worth, you know, $10.
I've heard that argument before. You know? Steven, what's your rate? Sorry, rude guy.
Yeah. Kind of like Narek is saying, like I do value-based pricing, but you know, if I was to do an hourly rate, it'd be like $75 an hour. On the value side of things, I typically have a minimum, and I won't start a project or won't do a project unless it's a certain amount, or asterisk, like I'm doing some sort of trade. And so like, mm-hmm. I'm trading a logo for someone else's service that I can benefit from, then that price will look different. I'll still more than likely charge them a like actual, you know, currency or, you know, a cost, but it's going to be less than what I typically would, because I'm also receiving an additional, you know, whatever they can provide for me.
I was going to ask, when it comes to those projects you guys have where you just have like a flat rate, do you ever, because this is something I personally do with a lot of freelance clients, I give them like 3 rounds of revisions, and then anything exceeding that, if they're just being too nitpicky, I then go into like an hourly rate. So that way they're really cautious with the feedback they give.
I always put that in the proposal. However, I've actually never really gotten to that mark. And the reason why is because, do you know when you get to the end of a project where you're like, you bounce back and forth these big kind of swings where it's, you know, here's the first one, and then they send revisions, and then you do a second one, and maybe it's like a direction kind of into the revision, and then the second one, and then the third one is just like, oh, can you just change this thing? It's like, yes. However, I feel like sometimes you get into like the, if you give a mouse a cookie, it's like you just give them like a little freebie, and then they just, before you know it, you're on, you know, was it file 47 final underscore final final underscore fuck.
I found that really useful when clients like have made mistakes on their end in regards to like measurements on something, or like personally with me in packaging and stuff, like I've found that I've had to do that because it's something that the client didn't inform, so having to go back and making changes accordingly. But I was just curious if you guys ever went to that extent.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat as like Michael was saying, is, you know, it never gets to that point for me. I like right when I graduated college, I took on a project with an olive oil company, Michael, out in North Carolina, believe it or not.
Very cool.
And, you know, it got to the point, and I don't work with them anymore. And it was like a packaging type project, and it was like olive oil bottles. And it got to the point where I was like charging them $75 an edit. Like edit request. Yeah. So it's like, hey, we need these 10 things changed. I was like, okay, well it's $75. And because I knew it wasn't taking me a long time to make those changes, but it was so frequent. It was like quick turnaround time, and like the initial design was already done. And with all the information that they had given me, so they were essentially changing the information that they were giving me. So in that respect, yes, I've gotten to that point, Rubai. Like I'm now charging an additional fee from what we initially agreed upon because I'm working overtime on that said project.
For me, at least, when I was doing design freelance work, I don't do it as much now because I'm trying to kind of leave that part at work right now. I used to do right around $40 an hour, and I would do value-based pricing a lot of times, and I would always give them a discount if they kept me on retainer. That was kind of always my goal, is I always wanted to stay on retainer. However, now for this project, what I did was I was doing freelance painting, and I do watercolors. And the way I do pricing, it depends on the size of the painting, because one, it's going to take more paint, and two, more paper, and three, a lot more time. As you scale up, it takes a lot more time to fill detail in. So I do based on size, I base it on subject. So the complexity of the subject, if you're having me paint like a sunrise, I can just throw a wash in there. But if you're having me paint architecture, it's a little bit more. And every time that there's a face in it, I usually say $75 a face, and that seems to be enough that people don't make me do like family portraits because I don't want to do family portraits. So, you know, it's funny, like you can kind of do, like if someone hit me up and was like, yo, I'll pay you $700 or $750 to do this 10 person family portrait, I'd be like, Jesus. But I'd still do it, you know, $750 is enough, whatever.
Yeah.
Pair of Yeezys or whatever. So, let's get down to business. Let's talk about the actual projects that we did. So for the people that are listening right now, the whole goal of the test pilots are we're going to take these pieces of advice, for this time, double your rates. And we are going to put it to the test and see if we come out with anything. I don't actually know how these all ended up for everybody. I know about just for myself. And I kind of hope that we don't all succeed. It would kind of be a bad story if we all just do great. So yeah, these guys are waving at the screen because it's like, I can tell that there's going to be a plot twist somewhere around here. So we all did that. We had about a month or so to see if we could find someone to pay us for doubling our rates. And here's our stories. So maybe, does anybody want to start?
I don't mind going first.
Rubai?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rubai, go for it.
Okay, Rubai. So for me, the main struggle was actually trying to find a client. There's a lot of people who are like, yeah, we'll get something started. And then it's always like the emails back and forth and back and forth. And it was really funny, literally a couple hours right before we decided to record this, I got the phone call saying like, hey, yeah, let's do it. Today is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. We're actually going to be recording the podcast in a couple of hours, so the timing of this couldn't be any more perfect. I just got off the phone with a client, and I officially have a freelance client for this. I did have to sign an NDA, but we were able to have the pricing work out to where it made me successful and able to actually put that advice to the test and have it work. So yeah, I'm really stoked about it. Hopefully I'll be able to share some of what I make
soon. Overall, it's a very happy day. I'm stoked, and I'm still amazed by the timing, but yeah, good news.
I wasn't able to double, but I was able to raise the price by 25%,
nice.
Which is like something. So I think that was pretty awesome. There was a lot of like
freaking checks back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, it's for a logo, so like it was a pretty steep price to begin with. So I completely understand why they'd only want to do 25% more. And I mean, to be honest, I was genuinely so hesitant to even like say the number. So
it's so real, man. I got those jitters when I typed it out, and I literally like almost deleted my message and like almost rewrote it. It's so intense. Why do we feel that way around money? Why do we feel that?
I don't know. It's such like it's so weird because it's like you're really, I mean, money really sets things into like motion when it comes to like really realizing how much your work is worth. For me, it was like I was trying so hard not to have a shaky voice because this was all happening over the phone. Like it was a phone call. So I was like trying so hard not to like just blurt out a lower number, but I was like going to do it. I had to like literally type it out on my phone and just read it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what can you give us some deets on this, or how much are you allowed to share about this?
So from what I know, my client is sending an NDA. So I will say my normal pricing for a logo is usually like $750 minimum.
Perfect.
So we agreed upon something close to like $900 or so. And I feel like that's the most info I can give. But the good thing is he also has like brands that are going to be under that main brand. So I know that there's more projects that are going to come down the line. Yeah. So just to keep it cohesive, he's going to stick with the same designer. So I know it's going to be worth it in the long run.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Yo, so that's so exciting.
Is that price just for the parent company? And then there will be more, I guess, like the more logos that you do for him, it'll be, you'll have to quote him again for those other ones?
Basically. Okay,
sweet. Nice. So it wasn't just like that one price for all of them.
No, it's just for the main parent company. And then from there, he's like, there's all these sub brands. I'm going to need packaging and all this other stuff. So I'm like, it's a ripple
effect.
So you set
the precedent at 25% increase, but you're going to get like six of those. So basically, Rubai got like a 400% increase. Boom, let's go.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So give me like an idea of the size of this project related to other projects you've done in the past. Is this like a big one? Is this a small one? Middle size?
Honestly, this is probably the biggest one, which is like what's wild to me. Because most of the times it's like already working for a brand that's pre-existing. If not, it's just like a small startup or something. But like this guy actually has funding. He's trying to get things like FDA approved and stuff. So like I know he's the real deal. Yeah.
I think that's a win. Rubai's making more money than she typically would have on a project. That's a W.
Boom.
If she's $150 more, I mean, it's not double, but when you multiply it by six or five or how many more other projects she's going to get out of this, like that's going to be like she got a separate other project that, it's going to be like one full price. It's awesome. Just doing a challenge. That's crazy.
Narc, do you want to go next and tell us about your experience?
Well, I mean, the part about this is I don't have that much experience. You know, like I didn't have a proposal. I didn't have a contract. I didn't have I didn't even have much experience like talking to a client like that. Everything I had before was like things that I knew, people I knew.
Okay. And it's kind of random. I don't actually have an update on the project. I've never, I think I already said this. But building a contract and a proposal, I don't know. For someone who's a professional designer, I don't know why it's taking me so long and why it's causing me anxiety, but maybe I should just push through it and get it done. I know I'm going to do it one of these days at like 2 a.m. or something, but I'm kind of feeling overwhelmed with work and, you know, personal life and family and trying to balance it all. And I think it's a struggle that maybe we don't talk about, or it's a challenge, and I knew there were going to be challenges along the way, so I think I just have to push through and get these done because this client is waiting on me. You know, I gotta make that money.
So this thing happened. Someone I knew, but they contacted me with like another person. I don't want to say things because I feel like they might listen to this and they might know, but you know, it's not bad on them. It's all my fault. So what happened was,
I think it's been a week since I last recorded something. I have contacted someone who was previously interested in a logo. I mean, she told me, I mean, we've spoken before. She's a friend from school, and she works for someone who needs design work done. I'm not the best at reaching out to people, so this is gonna be a fun challenge. I've never actually made a proposal or a contract. That's something else that I'm gonna have to kind of teach myself and learn.
I talked to this person and they said, okay, let's do a logo for us, for this brand, like this nonprofit thing. And I was like, they were like, how much would you charge for something like that? We don't have a lot of money. And I was like, I don't know, like $350. Like I just said that.
Yeah, how much you got?
Yeah. I was like, I said that before we even did this whole podcast thing, you know? And then she, like, I didn't hear anything for like a month or so. And then after we did our thing, like that same week, I was in contact with them and they were like, okay, I'll set you up with the person, the contact person, whatever. And then they were like, yeah, we saw your portfolio website. It was great. We were told about your rates. It was great. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I talked to them and then like kind of everything just started going bad from there. You know, like at first I was like, I'll get to the proposal. I'll get to the contract. I'll eventually do it, you know. And then, you know, a couple of days passed. This whole point, I've started a new job, you know, like my first design job. So I'm like, you know, I'm at work full time. I come home and this is the first time that I've had to design 40 hours a week. And that's all I do. Like I'm on Photoshop I'm on Illustrator every single day. I'm uploading images. I'm like exporting. It's like organization, my computer, like it's crazy. You know, my brain is getting like, and then I'm like, I'll get to it. You know, in the back of my head, like I'm not even keeping track of time. I know it's not going to end well. You know, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to salvage it. I'm going to make it work. At one point, well, this is something unfortunate that happened. Was most of California was on fire.
There's like these crazy fires. I don't know. Probably everyone knows by now, by the time this episode airs. But like the sky is orange. And not only do I have to wear a mask when I'm doing anything, I just have to wear a mask when I'm by myself because I can't even breathe anymore. So that's an interesting update. That's a very 2020 thing to happen. Also, our offices got flooded, and unfortunately there was a problem with the pipes next door. So that's an interesting development. So instead of focusing on, you know, my freelance when I get home, I'm very tired because I've had to kind of, you know, clean up and help out doing some non-design things. It's another challenge, another thing. You know, there's fires on one side, there's a flooded office on the other side. I'm sure Michael and Steven and Rubai are having their own struggles and their own problems. So this has been, you know, truly an interesting challenge.
So now I'm going into work. I'm not even designing at this point. I'm literally doing like manual labor, carrying out my shit and stuff. But luckily, like, I take my computer home with me. I take all my electronics. Like, it's mine. It's my property. So I keep it with me. But, you know, there was, like, it's my office. It's all messed up. Like, it's concrete now because they had to rip everything off. So at one point, I had to actually, like, you know, this person contacted me again. I didn't even reply. Like, I was so, like, overwhelmed. I would just come home and, like, take a nap, you know. And it's, like, smoky outside. And, like, you know, there's a pandemic going on. At one point, I forgot about, like, that there is a pandemic going on.
Forgot about the world existed outside of
your exactly. Worlds. It was just, like, negatives and negatives and negatives. So, they reached out. They were like, hey, is this something you're still interested in? And I was like, you know what? As much as I'm interested in it, because it's still design and it's still, like, I can't do it. And I don't want to hold mm-hmm. you guys up anymore. But the small win that I had was I upload my designs on Redbubble and TeePublic.
Okay.
And someone told me, some YouTube video or somewhere, someone told me when you put your stickers on Redbubble and you get a sale, you get a commission, it's a couple of cents. It's only like, you get like 25 cents or something. You can set that percentage from 20% to 120% and you'll still get sales.
I increased the percentage of my stickers on Redbubble and I think my shirt. Even though I've only gotten like 2 or 3 sales, I have increased my percentages to over 100%. So what I used to make before was 20%. So if I sold something that was $2, I would only make 20 cents. But now if I sell something, it's actually $4, you know. But, you know, I'll make more. I make like $2. So instead of, I don't have to sell 10 stickers to make $2 now. I can just sell one and make $2. And I sold a couple of things. And I don't know. I think there's traffic going to my stores organically. I'm not advertising. I haven't even posted it on my feed. But that's a way that I quickly doubled my rates and earned, you know, a couple of dollars. Obviously, I can scale this more and grow it.
Okay, so instead of making 20 cents, you'll make $2, which is like, it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. So I did that. I was like, you know what, this stuff nice. Counts.
Yeah, but it adds up over time, you know?
And I said that in the first, I think when I did the first recording, I even said that I was like, this is something I'm going to do. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I don't even care about that. I'm going to get all this money from this logo job. I'm going to be
the other. Have you sold any stickers, do you think?
I did. And they sold. And what? I got $2 out of it, you know?
Let's go. So, like,
$2.
And I got a couple of sales. So I think I'm up to like $14 now or something.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I put the same designs on TeePublic. And I sold. So I'm up to like $12 on TeePublic.
You're
and
an apparel crazy designer now.
Story.
You're an apparel
story.
And I sold it on shirts and a mask, I think. And so now, the cool thing about TeePublic and Redbubble is maybe we can talk about this in an episode one day, is it's a print on demand. So you as a designer, all you have to do is just upload and the company takes care of everything and they just pay you for, you know, having your art up there. So
this is not sponsored by TeePublic or Redbubble.
Exactly. But I mean, if you guys want a link for either one of those, you know. but it was one of those things where I just like, I put it up and I don't know, random people bought it. And I thought it was my friends at first, but I looked at the sales and they were like random people.
Dude, that's so cool. That is honestly,
that's awesome.
That was a roller coaster of a ride, but honestly, that couldn't have ended any better. That's such a great story.
Logo project to a warehouse being flooded. To selling stickers and T-shirts online.
Yeah,
it was hard to not tell you guys about. I think even Nick asked at one point. He was like, "How's your job?" I'm like, "I can tell them now." I even had photos and videos on my phone that I was going to send you guys. But then I'm like, "It'll be more interesting if I just get like a reaction out of you." I haven't even told them, so I'll tell Nick after.
We need to like clip this part of your story for social, for the DGDC social, and then also include the videos of the flooding warehouse.
Oh, you should see my office now because they cut the drywall out. So, like, literally my office is empty. Like, half of it is just cut off because it was all water damage. So I'm just sitting there. God. Like, you can see my legs from the outside. But it's been a ride. Yeah, that was another thing. But I learned a lot. You know, I learned, you know, now before I accept any other jobs, before I accept anything, I'm going to make a contract for myself. I'm going to make a proposal template. I'm gonna get it all checked, and then I'm gonna start like, okay,
yeah,
you can ask.
Dude, freelance, man, it's a freaking wild west. It is.
Oh yeah.
One thing, I mean, I think if I was to show someone what my early contracts were, it's literally like me typing it out in as like formal writing as I can on an email and being like, by replying to this with confirm, then you're signing this contract, and it's like. I don't think that would hold up in law if we're being honest here.
you'd be surprised. Like I have an electronic contract that I had a friend of mine who is a lawyer go over, and I was like, "Hey, is this like binding?" And she goes, "I mean, if they sign that, if you have down there like you, this is an electronic signature. If you sign this, you know, and it has their email attached to it." She's like, "I mean, by law, that's accepting just as much as like a verbal contract or like something written." So I'm like, okay, luckily I haven't had any issues, but you know, so far so good.
I mean, even text messages can back you up on that type of stuff. I once had a client who just started dodging my phone calls when it came to paying me, so much to the point I had to like use my boyfriend's phone with her not knowing that it was my phone number, and then she finally picked up and I was like, hey, yeah, you owe me. I have the texts. I have the emails. It's all there. Yeah.
Take out your knees.
That's intense, man.
Yeah.
So, Steven, what do you? What was your experience like?
Three projects that I was able to, you know, test this one over the past month and a half. And I guess I'm one for three. When it comes to actually payment, I'm zero for three. I've had one potential client accept the offer, but there has the project has yet to start. So I'll run through those. The first one is a semi-professional sports team here in Arkansas. Okay, so I just had a conversation with a potential client who is needing a logo/rebrand for his semi-professional soccer club here in Arkansas. Not going to say which one. There's a few, but yeah. And so he was looking to revise his logo because it looked a lot like Wolverhampton in Europe, an actual pro team. And so what we wanted to do there was change the aspects, you know, elements of it to be a little bit more original, but to kind of keep that same feel as a wolf head, maybe create a badge or crest like you would typically see in most soccer organizations. So we're doing that. The big caveat that he is needing is a 2-week turnaround time, which is a super big rush project. And so I gave him the basically option. I was like, okay, this is like one direction only, one round of edits, primary and secondary logo marks, 2-week turnaround time, pricing him at $2,000 with a deposit of $1,000. And this is primarily for that 2-week turnaround time, super rush. You know, I usually take longer than that to do my first drafts. And so we're looking at a full rebrand, full logo in 2 weeks. And a lot of it's for jerseys and other materials that they're needing, in such a short amount of time. They're ordering jerseys like in 2 weeks. And so they need it by that time. So send him an email. We'll see what he says. They were looking for something, for a new logo, new brand. But they were looking for like a 2-week turnaround time.
Wow.
I needed to approach the project as such. And so, you know, yeah. I gave them essentially a rush charge.
What kind of, how do you calculate that kind of rush charge?
You know, there's no really mathematical way of doing it. For me, it's like,
it's by feel.
You know, it's definitely by feel. It's like, man, how much do I want to make off this? How much, you know, what's worth kind of like my time? If I'm going to turn around and do something in 2 weeks, you know, I want a good chunk of money out of it. And that, like, I'm not like greedy, but it's like, I don't want to just make the normal amount when I'm like stressing myself over something like this, you know?
Yeah.
And so
we're going to have to cancel plans, or you're going to have to do something that you wanted to do.
Right. Yeah. And they were wanting a 2-week turnaround time. And the thing that they kept saying was a partnership. They're like, hey, we're looking for a partnership. And I was trying to get that out of them as far as what they meant by it. And so I eventually send them over a quote, you know, email them. I say, hey, here's the total cost. I need a deposit, you know, just like we all do. And the cost was like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of deposit do you require for a $2,000 project? Hypothetically,
no matter the cost, it's 50%
upfront. 50%
upfront. Now, if there's like a client or a business, they're like, man, we can't really do that. I'll work with them. You know, I'll be like, okay, well, you know, pay in installments, you know, so it's like 25% up front, but I need 50% by the first draft or something like that, to where it's like, I'm kind of guaranteeing my 50% before they see anything almost, you know. It's like, oh, if this week you can give me 25%, you know, in 2 more weeks, I need the other 25%, and then we can show you drafts or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to kind of like secure yourself.
Yeah. And so sent out the quote and immediately got back like a rejection. Quoted the guy $2,000 for a 2-week turnaround time project, deposit of $1,000. And this is what the response that I got. Man, I really appreciate the time you took in speaking with me the other day and putting this together. As much as we need this, we just can't afford that right now. I hate it, but it's reality. In time, we can, but we were really looking for more of a partnership of sort. I know your work has value to it, and I wouldn't want to take away from that at all. Just being transparent with you, most of us are donating our time and dipping in our pockets to keep this alive. Kind regards. So, you know, worth a shot, shot in the dark. Definitely a lot of, like, struggles there with the quick turnaround time. Obviously, you know, the price goes up, and just to kind of give you an idea, here in Arkansas, you know, it's hard to price certain things, especially startups or new businesses, very, very high. And so, you know, maybe $2,000 isn't a lot to a big business, but it is to someone who is strictly volunteer or strictly, you know, like this guy said, dipping into their own pockets. You know, his position and other coaches' positions for the soccer club is all volunteer-based. And so, totally understand. I'm not offended, but, you know, would have loved to do the project. Hopefully in the future, you know, I can work on it. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's lower than this. I know, you know, in Arkansas, we've definitely got to watch our market. You know, it's a cheaper way of living here in Arkansas, and so not everybody has thousands of dollars laying around that they can spend. And especially when it comes to new business, you know, they want to try to budget as much as possible, and every penny is worth saving. So totally get where this guy's coming from, and hope the best for him. And they were definitely, you know, against the price. They thought it was too much, but also, you know, the semi-professional team is not so much like a well-oiled organization yet. It's a lot of volunteers. They're spending their hard-earned money for jerseys and advertising, and, you know, so they're not even get, like, the coaches and the people running it aren't even getting paid from the professional team or semi-professional team, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so, again, the client was like, you know, I'm looking for a partnership. So I asked him again. I said, hey, can you expand on that idea?
Yeah.
And so eventually he was just saying, you know, basically kind of wanted free work and or something really, really cheap to bring alongside somebody so they could get a lot of work and, you know, help their design future, I guess you could say. Someone had worked with them before, and now they're working for an actual professional team. So he tried to use that as leverage. And, you know, for me, that doesn't work. Exposure doesn't really mean a ton to me. And so I think that's what he was looking for. I'm just like, hey, hundreds of people will see your work. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah. But,
so what kind of like price were they looking for? Were they looking for like a $100 kind of?
Yeah, shit? I think so. I think that they were looking for something super cheap. And, you know, given here in Arkansas, we're a pretty low cost of living state. And so, you know, my market isn't people who are really wealthy who can throw around a lot of money at one time, you know? And so I got where they were coming from, but for a 2-week turnaround time and something that was potentially going to grow into a much bigger thing, you know, hopefully, I was like, you know, this means a lot more to me than what they're offering. And so I responded saying, hey, you know, I appreciate you wanting me to work on it. Just at the time, I can't work on it because of the cost and, you know, what you're wanting out of it. And so it was a lot more work than most projects would be, you know. And I gave them the options of like, hey, it's this much with one edit and that's it, call it a day. And so, you know, for something to be so quick, you start to take away certain things from them. And
at that point, it kind of is like not even it kind of loses the fun of the project. It sounds like it was a fun project,
yeah,
but it's like, oh no, but we only want to pay, you know, this much, and we only want one edit. And then it's like, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to just check a box.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, you need a logo. Here's a logo.
Really trying to milk it. And it would have been fun for me because I like to do sports logos, especially soccer, which I played. And so, you know, it would have been fun, but at the same time, I need this to be worth my time. So that was project number one. So second project, had a business couple contact me. They're starting a new therapy clinic. All right, guys, I had another project come through the pipeline. This time is with a new physical therapy clinic that's starting up in Northwest Arkansas. Was not able to quote them double the amount that I typically charge, but it was a considerably more. I'm not really allowed to talk about the price as they wanted to refrain from me talking about that sort of thing, which I understand. But yeah, it's a physical therapy clinic. They're going to be brand spanking new. They're going to be venturing out to other sorts of therapies along the way. But typically it's strictly going to be physical therapy right when they open up. So yeah, they're sent them a quote. See what we hear back, I guess. This is their first business that they've started, and they were wanting full brand, full scale, complete style guide, you know, the whole nine. With luckily, the girl had been on staff with a marketing company before, and so she kind of knew what was expected for that sort of project. And so I was like, this is kind of my opportunity to double up my cost or raise it exponentially and see, you know, if the fish bites, right?
Yeah.
And so I did just that. I agreed to not say the price for them. But it's, I mean, one of the bigger projects I'll work on as a logo designer, you know, full scale, like primary, secondary colors, type, nice. Like you name it, I'm going to hopefully eventually do it. And so the biggest issue was hearing back from them. That was one thing that was kind of a struggle, is getting in contact with them and then hearing back. And then ultimately sent them over a real quote. I thought I was going to get ghosted again. It was a few days before I heard it back from them. So I sent another message, another email. It's like, hey, just want to check in.
You know, per my last email.
And for me, I was scared that they were going to ghost. You know, I thought, I was like, man, here we go. I priced way too high.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to completely, you know, go with someone else who's going to be super cheap. Finally got a response and they accepted. Good news. We got an approval. Had to kind of bug the client a few times, sent off the quote. Didn't hear back for an entire week, and eventually I stopped contacting them after two or three text messages and an email or two, and was just like, okay, we're just not going to hear back. Maybe they didn't like the price and decided to ghost, but eventually I got a text back, and they were gung-ho about it. They just aren't going to move forward quite yet. They wanted to get their business loan in, but they approved the price, so once they get that squared away, we'll be able to move in on the project and start. So raising my prices for this time worked. Next phase, we'll be waiting on them to get their business loan in and then sign some paperwork, and then we're off. Nice. So big win. The thing that we're waiting on now is a business loan. So this was something that I didn't think you had thought of, especially starting a new business. They're not going to start paying on anything until they get that business loan, especially a new business loan. And so even on the creative services part of it, it's that was interesting to hear of. I don't really get that a ton. Usually I have businesses come to me who are either already established or who have the money to go ahead and start, you know, tomorrow.
Huh.
And so
seems like they're kind of putting the cart before the horse with this whole branding situation. And you think that you got to like.
Yeah. So that was, you know, 3 weeks ago that they had accepted. And so, you know, I recently reached back out, haven't heard anything. So we're back at that phase of like, man, I really hope this kind of like comes through so I can get the ball rolling. My hands are tied. I really don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
God, I hate that phase.
Right now it's like, did I win this or did I lose it? You know, is doubling your rate or price, you know, is it as easy as people say it is, you know?
Well, I mean, you just did it. You doubled your rates and you sent it to them and like, yo, if you hadn't doubled it and you send it to them and say you get hooked up for like that one and you just get conned for a shitty logo and it's cheap and you just kind of spin your wheels on it. It's like, dude, maybe you saved money by not spending time. You know, I think that's a good soundbite.
Yeah. And this wasn't even one that like I send like a full proposal deck, you know, I've been freelancing for like 5 years. And so I didn't really have a proposal deck ready. I would, you know, kind of like Narc was saying, I just sent him an email of like, here's your price, you know, that sort of thing. And I still do contracts and stuff, but like it wasn't as formal and they accepted. But so is it a win? Is it a loss? I'm not sure yet. Hopefully it turns out to be a win. I think it's a win for the most part as, oh, I doubled my rate or I increased my rate and they accepted the offer. So it's like, okay, I guess testing it worked. Now it's the next phase of following through and actually doing the project and getting paid.
That's fascinating. I think that it's very interesting getting into that stage. I'm sure that the rest of you guys have had this situation where you get to that committed sort of thing. And then, I mean, I'm in it right now with, I do my company's podcast and we have a sponsor and they're on the hook and they've sent everything in. They've made the landing page. They've put in the promo code. They've sent me all the ad copy. They have everything all set up. And the episode, I'm supposed to record it tomorrow. It's like, okay, you got to send the money in, but also it's like, you got everything in there. So what are we going to do? And I don't know, like, I never really know the answer with that.
I feel like it's really tough with a podcast too, in this case versus like design. Cause I mean, with people who do like the half up front and then the other half afterwards, like personally, I don't do that very often. Usually what I do is I like wait for them to like give the final go. I'll send them that invoice, have them do the payment, then I'll send over the files. I don't know how you guys go about it.
Yeah, I've heard that's
common. I will not give them files until after they pay.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I try to do it, you know, and I let them know up front, like, hey, once you pay the final amount, it'll give me 24-hour turnaround time to get you files, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are like, no, you got to do it right then. But I'm like, man, I got to package this thing. This could be another, you know, couple hours of work, renaming files, that sort of thing. And so... I'm not 100% on that. I'm not like, oh, every project I've ever done, it's a 24-hour file turnaround time. There have been times where I've like went a week without giving them files, and that's bad on me. But it's kind of like Narc was saying, it's like, oh, I just kind of forget about it. I'll get around to it. You know, that sort of
life happens,
which is not good. Not good practice on my end, because then you got people messaging you like, hey, where are my files? Like, are you gonna send this? And then that's a bad name, you know. Now I've got a bad reputation that I don't give files. I steal people's money.
I mean, I have a story where, I mean, I was working. This was probably last fall. It was like a local thing, you know, someone knew me. And they were like, okay, I'll pay you this much per month, right? And I was like crazy. I was like, okay, they're like, we just need you to do like some social media things, right? And now I don't know anything. And so I'm like, yeah, I just start designing for them, you know, like right off the bat. They're like, hey, do this. And I'm like, okay, done. Email it to you. They're like, okay, cool. Okay, do this. Okay, done. And then at one point, I'm like, I'm going to get paid, right? They're like, yeah, yeah, the check's on the way. And then I get the check. I'm like, cool, cool. I got the check. You know, I got like one check. And then it's like the next month. And they're like, oh, do this and do that and do this and do that. And then I'm like, I'm going to get paid. They're like, yeah, yeah, you're going to get paid. You got paid last month, you know? I'm like, sure. Okay, sounds good. You know, there's no contract. Nothing exists. Yeah. I'm just literally just doing this.
Flying by the like edge of your seat.
Yeah. I'm just like, whatever, you know, I'm telling my friends, they're like, you're getting paid to design, that's sick, you know, they don't, no one knows about design, you know, it's like, no one knows about contracts and stuff, you know, it's like, the people I'm surrounded with are as lost as I am.
Oh, man, just the blind leading the blind on that one.
And then it's like, okay, and then I'm like, oh, they're like, okay, this month, we'll pay you next month, we'll just double it, And I was like, okay, that's not what we agreed to, but whatever, you know, I don't know anything. I'm just happy I'm getting paid, you know. I'm like doing this shit in class, like I'm sitting there, I'm like designing, and then I'm like sending an email, I get home, I do another thing, whatever. I'm not even keeping track of my time.
Ah.
And then they didn't pay me.
Oh no.
That's the thing. They didn't pay me. Like 2 months passed and this guy came. He literally came to my house and he was like, hey man, like, you know, I'm sorry and all this. And he was like, next time you should probably have a contract. I'm like, yeah, I know that now. Now I realize
Did he back pay you? Did he like hook you up at all?
No, he didn't. I didn't even know about that. I didn't even know about anything like that. This is how I lost. And
Probably more than a year ago,
2 years ago. I don't know.
So this is before you had Nick's class.
Oh yeah,
dude, folks get beat up for that shit, man.
If I told Nick, I feel like Nick is gonna hear this and he's gonna smack me. You know, like.
Sorry, Nick, if you're listening to this.
No people. Well,
he's not literally gonna hit me. He just it's having a professor like Nick where he's like, get paid before, have a contract, do this, do that. You know, make everything in writing. If someone wants you to do something extra, a revision, anything, have that in writing.
It's interesting. Sorry, no, you're fine. I'm cutting you off. I apologize. It's interesting to see how other people besides creatives treat creatives in that sense of like, this like artsy thing. They don't really deal with the formalities, but it's like, no, we do. We've got to protect ourselves as much as we can because I know no one else will.
Well, it's also because they think that it's just fun. Like, you're just drawing stuff. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's so much thought process and stuff. And I feel like that's something that really helps sell your price. Like, he wanted to know why I was charging that much. And I feel like once you give a breakdown and you explain your process, that really validates the cost and the price that you're giving them. Because, like, just explaining to him how logos take research, there's a sketching phase, there's exploration, then you go digital, you have options, then go into color, and then all the other things that follow. That really, like, that explanation really sold him over. So I think people don't really think of creatives like what you were saying. Like, they don't understand that there's so much structure involved in what we do.
Well, one thing that helps me is the way I think of it is if I tell someone it's kind of like a service, you know? If you had a plumber come to your house, you wouldn't be like, hey, why don't you show me like some things, you know, like if someone like did a service for you, like for your house, for your car, you know, and they demanded payment, you wouldn't be like, hey, maybe let me think about it or let me look at it, let me show my, because like, that's some of the things that people will tell me. They'll be like, oh, let me show someone what you did and maybe that'll be worth paying. Or it's like the way people think about it. They don't think about it as a service. They literally think about like you're selling them a painting or something.
Yeah. So Mike, what was kind of your experience, you know, going through this process of charging more or, you know, doubling up?
Yeah, I loved it, man. I had a little bit of success, but maybe because I'm doing with like way smaller projects than what you guys were doing. I I got more into painting this year. It was one of my goals, but also definitely led into the whole friggin' quarantine lifestyle. I started painting essentially because I was just going out of my mind, just surrounded by the world, especially during March. I was just going crazy. So I started painting a ton, and it really just led to some escapism. So after I painted, I think I painted 20 paintings between March and I think April. And in that time, I was like, all right, I'm going to start opening up slow for some commissions, get down my my process. So I started doing a couple commissions. So now I have it down to not a science, but I kind of know what my rates are for certain paintings, mainly because painting is one of those things you really just, sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't with a painting.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't.
What kind of paintings?
So I do watercolor.
Okay, cool.
And I especially love architecture watercolor. And I think it's really, really beautiful. I love like the way the architecture works. And I kind of try to paint really graphic, like a graphic artist. So I've always charged $100 for an 8.5 by 11 painting, $75 for half of that, for a half size. So that's 5.5 by 8.5. Today's the 24th of August. So I'm trying to plan out what my my doubling my rates is going to be. I normally do a painting. You know, I do watercolor paintings. I usually charge, you know, $100, but I'm thinking about charging $190. And honestly, I don't think anyone's going to take it, but I'm thinking I'm going to have to find a tricky way to do this. I'm going to start posting, I think, on Facebook. And then if that fails, I'm probably going to, I don't know, have to make a website or something. Ugh. When we said we're going to double our rate, so true daily double fashion, you know, I was going to have to charge $200 or $150 or more. What I did to find clients was I put together some of my favorite pieces that I've done, and I blasted out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I got a little bit desperate and posted that I'm open for commissions on my Instagram, which is pretty desperate, I think. But you know what? It works for other people. It works for real, like, folks that paint consistently and who are really, this is what their main source of income is. I feel kind of weak doing it like this because I'm, you know, I have a real, you know, real, quote unquote, real job. That's not just painting, but here I am. Here's what I wrote. I'm open for some commissions. I love doing architecture and storefronts, but I'm open for really anything. This would be a good gift or get yourself situated for Christmas ahead of time instead of leaving until last minute, like always. Give something personal this year. DM for pricing or more work samples, and then throw in all the hashtags, painting, and all that good stuff. See if it circulates, but share it to my story. We'll see if anybody bites, because it's really embarrassing doing this and then not getting someone to bite. So I'm hoping I get at least one, maybe. It just takes one to finish up this story. So fingers crossed. Okay. It's funny, the different types of cultures that you interact with on different social medias. I wonder, we could have a whole talk about social media marketing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I put it out on Facebook and I got a whole bunch of thumbs up from friends and no dice. And then I put it out on Twitter and I got a whole bunch of retweets from you guys too. And no, and a bunch of people slid into my DMs and none of them went anywhere. And what I've learned about my pricing, I don't ever put it in the post, but as soon as someone asks me, hey, what do you charge for painting? I always just copy paste them basically the same thing. You know, whack it over to them. Hey, you know, it's this, this, and this. I charge more for faces, mainly because watercolor faces I find very difficult. And I'm also not a portrait artist. Someone reached out to me. First one was to paint their dog. Here, I'll read you the conversation. So she hits me up. She responded to my Instagram story. She wrote, how do you feel about dogs? I have a thing about where I get my husband a dog-related art gift for each of our dogs. Need one for the newest dog. She's a pointer, maybe like a woodsy scene with her on point. I could send you some photos if it's something you'd be willing to take on. And then she mentions in my previous painting for one of her relatives. So we're going back and forth. And I haven't dropped how much money it's going to be. But so in my mind, I'd probably do, this would be about $90. $100 or so. So now I'm thinking I'm going to try to get it for like, I don't know, like $180. I might throw in a frame though. Frames are an easy way to upcharge a little bit. So probably if with a frame, probably going to be, yeah, 180, which isn't exactly double, but you know what? I feel weird even asking for this much. She's probably going to say no. But honestly, I'm sticking to the guns and you guys are going to find out she says no in about 2 seconds when it cuts to that. Well, after I recorded that, that last one, saying I got it and I was going to only do 180, posted it into the rest of the test pilots saying, hey, got one. I sent them that voice message. And old Nick Longo himself friggin' heckling me from the cheap seats saying, 200, you got to do 200, otherwise it's not real or whatever. And I was like, all right, Mr. Big Baller Brand. And everyone just like, so I wrote, Mr. Nick Longo, 99 cannons on retainer, cool guy heckling me. And Nick laughs and Derek writes, for $200 Nick sends you a free clip art. And then I for $200 Nick sends a video of him drinking a different brand's beer. So I guess we're doing 200. here it is, $200. And yeah. I freaking put it out there. And I kind of wanted her to say no.
Ooh,
because
really?
I figured it would make a better episode. Like, I thought it was like, maybe this lady rejects me and she's like, ah, it's too much money. And that would have proved my point. But it really, she said yes, didn't even blink at it. So there's that. And then while I had that picture up, literally this, like the next day, a lady hit me up for an architectural painting. All right. I got hit up for a different print. So let me read it about this. A girl who I sort of know but I knew follow my Instagram hits me up and she writes, "Hi Mike, I was wondering if I could get a drawing done from you since I think your work is amazing." I write back, "Would love to make a painting for you as well. What sort of picture do you have in mind?" She asked me, how much? And I said, "Well, it depends on how big." I gave her three sizes, 8.5 by 5.5, 8.5 by 11, and 15 by 22. And she writes, I want the 8.5 by 11. So typically for an 8.5 by 11, I would do a architecture painting. And since it's architecture, it's of the Colosseum. I would do an architecture painting for like $75, probably $70, especially because I kind of know this girl. I'd give her like a little bit of a deal. I definitely wouldn't include a frame, and I definitely wouldn't include shipping, but shipping is only like $2, but people think it's like $20. So like big brain move right there, bud. So $75. So a true daily double. I write back. So for an architecture drawing at 8.5 by 11, I would do that for $150. And that'll include a frame and shipping. She writes back, "Ooh, awesome." So, "ooh, awesome" doesn't exactly mean that she's going to pay me. She might have to be like, "Oh, let me check what my budget's like." But she didn't blanch at it. And I did take the advice of double your rates. So, Nick Longo, don't at me on this one. All right, let's see if she actually pays. All right, get this. Literally probably 25 minutes later, "How do you want me to pay you?" And I said, I typically take 50% up front. And she's like, "Okay, how much?" I said, "Hit me with 75 right now and I'll try and work on it this weekend, blah, blah, blah." She goes, "Cool, that's awesome." And she hit me with a Venmo. So you know what? Maybe this doubling your rates thing isn't exactly a hoax after all. And God, I can't believe that's actually true. I am floored. So now I gotta actually go paint this thing. And I got paid in full for that one. I already mailed out. So I take 50% up front, 50% on done. And all this money, you know, it sounds so bougie, but it's like, I always call it beer money. It's not just for beer.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, dude, now you got
a lot of beer.
Now you got to double your rate next time until someone says no. Just keep upping it. Just keep upping it.
So, you know, it's such a – one thing about fine art, I don't know if you guys have gotten into fine art at all, but fine art as in, like, not digital art. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's so much easier to sell and convey the value of because it's so tactile. It's so there.
Yeah.
Whereas with digital art, man, dude, like, God, how do you sell that?
Right. You know?
And I mean, digital paintings, they sell. People who do like Photoshop paintings, those things sell. Like then the thing about that is they can just do like a million prints and none of them are the original. You know, they can just do like numbered prints and they can do 100 at a time or something. And people will pay for those. But if you're like, okay, you spend 10 hours doing a painting or you spend 10 hours doing a logo, all of a sudden that logo is only worth $25. You know, it's like, it's crazy. Like it doesn't add up.
I think the big thing there is like, you know, everybody can relate to it. Everybody has some sort of artwork in their home or a poster on the wall or something like that. And they know what they're getting into, especially, you know, the cliche behind fine art is like, oh, there's one paint splatter on a canvas and they're selling it for $2,000. It's like, I think that has now become ingrained in people's minds of like, that's the standard. And so, you know, when you're selling fine art, people know that they may spend $200-$400 on something. With digital art, not everybody can relate to it. Not everybody's starting a business tomorrow or
understands it.
It's such a, not really, but like a newer concept to a lot of people of someone's
behind a screen making a logo versus someone is spending money on oil paints and brushes and a canvas, and then they're spending hours upon hours painting it, and they probably they know that better than they know, you know, the digital side of what we do.
So guys, related to this, let's quickly shift into kind of like wrapping this thing up. So when it comes to doubling our prices, the first thing that I had thought of was this. I read this blog post once upon a time that was about shiny object theory. So Nick, so I signed these two gigs. So our thing was to double our rates. I thought that this wouldn't work. I honestly thought it was going to be, I was going to get like a couple rejections and then I was going to come in and be like, see, proved it. But now I've got it. So what I wanted to ask you about is when you actually do hike up your rates in like the real world, not in just like a controlled setting like we're doing, there's something out there. I forgot what the actual name of the study is, but it's like shiny object theory, which has to do with when you pay more, you expect more. So when it comes to this, part of the reasons why I've never really wanted to step up my freelancing is because then you get into this shiny object theory where I'm starting to worry that it's going to, one, take the fun out of it, and two, cause the client to expect more. And how do you handle those things? Are you just confident enough in your ability to deliver that you know that you're going to back it up no matter what? Or do you kind of have a different way to approach it?
I would say, well, where you really take the big risks in your rates going up are with new clients, right? With someone who you haven't put any kind of bid in or had any experience with in the past. So typically, I always say, how do they know that I'm asking for more? How do they know to expect more when all they've gotten is one quote from me? Obviously, an existing client, if you went to them and say, hey, my rates have gone up and it's now here, sure, I think there's a bigger pressure to deliver and show that extra money was worth it, and you're showing them what you've learned or what you've now got under your sleeve to even do better for them. But the new client, you know, how do they know to expect more? The only time I ever get confident enough to really do that with a new client is, to be honest with you, when I've shared some story or talked to another designer who has told me they've done it and had good success. So there's always that reassurance that when you've heard from other people and they say they've done it, it gives you that a little advantage that you're like, I'm doing something in the right direction. All they can do is say either no or can we find a way to make this a little less.
I appreciate your time, Nick.
You got it, buddy.
So I kind of was worried when we said we were going to double our rates. What if we double our rates and then our clients suddenly treat it and they become huge pains in the neck because they're paying twice as much? You know, I'm going to be twice as much of a pain in the neck, essentially. Did you guys find that?
Well, I feel like it's different in this situation, at least for me personally, because it's not a client that's coming back. It's a new client. So they don't know what my average rate is, which is why it's like they don't expect to have more. If it's a returning client and you're raising the price, I could see how that could happen.
Ah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have anything to say, is probably raising, like if you're in my situation, if you're in school, if you're just out of school, maybe raising your rates shouldn't be a thing you're thinking about. Maybe just getting work done, just getting the process done, which is what I had the biggest problem with, was just going through all those steps. And if you are someone, when you get to a process where you're sending out contracts and proposals and you're doing work and consistently, you know, not like once a year, if you're doing something consistently, maybe at that point you can be like, hey, I can make more money doing this, then consider raising your rates. But if you're in my situation, then this is what I'm going to do, is I'm just going to focus on getting my process
that's
set
really good
before I focus on, you know.
That's a really good mindset to have.
Or when it comes to freelancing in general, even, let's think about it in like a big sense. I think that there's something to be said about even getting your feet in the door. And sometimes the way to get traffic and get projects under your belt and learn the experience of the talk of going back and forth with a client and doing revisions and exporting files for the real world and not just for a class. Sometimes the easiest way to do that is to have a lower rate. So if we were to take the piece of advice from the beginning of this show, which is, hey, you should double your rate. I think that maybe that's true in the future. Coming out of college and in college, or maybe even not even related to college, but when you're starting freelance, maybe you should have a little bit lower rate because it'll be easier to get the experience and your feet wet in the freelancing world. And then as you do that, start looking around, figuring out what your rates are by raising them up until you start getting into the, you know, an area that you feel comfortable with. And kind of just send it, man. People don't know exactly what you're doing. Educate them, like Rubai said, and start freaking driving that home. And then you'll kind of are going to be started paid what you're worth.
Yeah, definitely. The sound bite of like just double your rates. It's not as like double your rates and you'll get paid more. Yeah, that sounds great. But I think it's
technically true.
It's so exactly. It's so situational to where, well, maybe I'm not in the season of life to where I'm able to do that. And like Narek is saying, let me iron out my process first and make sure that this is actually attainable. Everything that y'all have said has been spot on as far as, man, doubling my rates, like would love to do that. But I don't even know if I'm in the place to double my rates. Maybe I need to iron out these things like Narek is saying. And then once I get comfortable, then we see if that is feasible and I'm able to do that.
There you go.
There's also just like the factor of even setting your rate when you're straight out of college. Like, how do you decipher that and decide on that? So like the way that I figured it out was like I got laid off from the job. I got straight out of college and then I had no choice but to freelance and trying to figure out my rate at that point, it was so hard. So getting the advice of like double your rate, that's really intimidating.
Super.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, looking at, it's going to be different for everybody because Rubai lives in California and I live in North Carolina. So and depending on where you are, how much, for example, what your cost of living is and your burn, you know, if you have student loans. But you know, if it's not feasible for you to double your rates or for you to raise your rates, maybe you got to go the other way and you got to work on quantity. And mm-hmm. you just got to be, if you're freelancing, man, just running that hustle, start handing out CDs on the side, you know what I mean? Like start building up that hype. That's what's up.
And in a sense, no matter what, you're still winning too, because you're speeding up your process too, and you're becoming a faster exactly. designer. So at the end, some way, somehow, you're winning.
And then you're probably learning something along the way as far as how to do business better, quicker, like you're saying. Just, yeah, now I know how to haggle more, or now I know how to like, mm-hmm. you know, talk to clients better or sell my service even more, that sort of thing.
I like a disclaimer we can think is, I mean, you can have lower rates, but I feel like it's the part where people are charging $25 or something. That's where it starts hurting the rest of us. So maybe like have a reasonable rate, you know, like something that actually works, which is might be the best advice for someone that's coming out of college, which is like find that reasonable rate. Don't double it, and don't ask for $12, because when you're asking for, you know, $15 for a logo or something, those same people, they approach someone who's like, you know, it's like Steven, who's been doing this for 5-6 years, and then they're asking him to do something for $100, which is almost like insulting to a point, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, personally, like with the company I work for, like we outsource things, but we're like using things like Design Pickle and Fiverr. And I feel like, yeah, that's great for like smaller things like product crops and stuff like that. But when you're mm-hmm. going to say, oh, I can get a logo off of Fiverr for like $75. Those services, honestly, I feel like they're doing a disservice to designers who are like independent contractors and freelancers who have this as like their full time source of income. That's just piggybacking off of what Narek had to say.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, this brought up like a whole nother kind of realm of anxiety for me. Like I, you kind of talked about it. It's, you know, I wonder why I have, you know, everybody I think has imposter syndrome to a certain extent. And I definitely have like a real questioning of like, is my art worth it? And I feel like a number of designers that I talk to have that kind of experience as well. I talked to Nick about it. And one thing that was really interesting is there is the question of, you know, is this work worth the amount of money I'm charging for it? But with the, in, you know, kind of running through the gamut over and over again, you get better and better and better at it. And then you kind of build that confidence. And then when someone asks you, is this worth it? You say very confidently, yes, yes, this is worth it. This is how much I charge. And if people will question it, then, you know, maybe they don't need a logo from you. Maybe they need a logo from Fiverr, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, I saw something. Kind of, I saw something recently on Twitter that was kind of talking about that, of like, Fiverr is not going to replace us. You know, there is definitely a market for that. There are people who are willing to spend that, or only want to spend that amount of money on said projects, and that's what they're going to spend. They're not going to spend anything more than that, so they're going to go to that. I don't think it's replacing us who are trying to do this professionally, who are trying to do it full time, who see the value in it, and the clients that, you know, we're talking to or going after, they also value what we bring to the table, and they probably don't value the Fiverrs of the world who are only, you know, costing $5-$10 for something that takes us a lot of time to do. And it's like, there's a market for that thing. There's a market for what we do. Yeah.
I think it's the concept of like, you're paying what you are, what you pay for. And it's like, when you go to a freelancer who's really there with you, step like side by side for the entire process, you're going to get a lot for your money's worth. Versus these companies that are just rush jobs.
The real goal, I think, here is not for us to pass judgment on if you all should double your rates or not. It's not like, all right, yes, this is a proven theory, myth confirmed, all that kind of stuff. It's to provide a little bit of a real life explanation and experience for everybody so they can understand and know if maybe they... she could take a stab at it, give it, test the waters. So I think that this is a cool, you know, interesting project. We'd love to hear your feedback. Again, we're the test pilots, and where can everybody be found, you know, in case they want to follow along? Steven.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Steven, Steven _ Overturf, OVERTURF. Or Overturf Design Studio on Instagram.
Narek?
You can find me anywhere. Like, my handle is the same everywhere. It's Narek Mug, NarekMug. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, anywhere.
Nice. And Rubai?
I'm in the same boat as Narek. My handle is my first and last name on Instagram and Twitter. It's RubaiejaFFER.
Nice. And my name is Michael Burpo, and you can find me on Instagram. It's Burpski15. That's BURPSKI15. And on Twitter, it's Ballpoint Pod. And we'll be back with another episode in, you know, just a couple months, sooner if you let us know that this is really good. So throw in, if you like these kind of episodes, maybe just throw us a little thumbs up, or, you know, 5-star rating, or whatever it is you guys do on those pod apps. and let Nick know that you like these kind of things, and we'll be back sooner than you expect with another episode of The Test Pilots. We are The Test Pilots.
Why don't you take that idea?
All the advice.
See if all this stuff is actually what it is.
We're here to test that.